Rookie Records podcast series, Birth of the Song. We'll take you through the process of songwriting and production with the songwriters of our latest releases. Be sure to subscribe and stay up to date on upcoming episodes. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the podcast. How is everybody?
Hello!
Hello!
I'm good. My name is Tony Tenorelli, and I'm good. T2.
I was about to say, are we going to go around the table and introduce ourselves?
We should. Sure.
Hi, I'm T2. I started.
Nah, that's enough of that. All right.
Yes. And everybody else.
Chris, how are you?
Good. Hi.
Sam's here.
I'm also here.
you are Sam. Sam.
I'm here as well.
And Dave's here.
I'm here.
I am.
All right. Yay. We didn't even give him a microphone.
I have nothing to do with this. I'm just happy to be here. Drew's got so many granola bars and Gatorade.
Oh, yeah.
It's like an 8-year-old's wet dream. But only 4 microphones.
Last time, yes. Well, he has to pay for the Slim Jim.
Right.
Yeah, come on, man.
7 different kinds of Gatorade, 4 microphones.
Hey!
Bougie-ass production.
In my defense, you were a surprise addition.
My mom said that too.
I personally think Dave is the heart and soul of this song.
Yeah.
Because he was here pushing us when we were doing the guitars.
No.
Yeah, he was shoving it.
You weren't here when I did anything.
Like a toenail of the song.
Not even the heart.
All right, so we are here to talk about And the Balloons' latest single.
I thought there were going to be balloons.
We were going to do that, weren't we? Mm-hmm. I guess there's no video, so it doesn't matter. Pretend there's balloons on the wall.
And a fifth mic.
And pretend there's a fifth mic.
And that you could hear Dave's joke that he just...
There's a fifth wall, but no fifth mic.
Ayo! We spent the money on the fifth mic on the balloons, but they didn't show up.
And the granola bars.
Yeah,
but,
Slim Jims.
So do I just...
The new single is...
I just start singing it?
Just, yeah,
is that how we do
just
it?
Just hum a few bars.
No.
It is The Bed I Made.
Yes.
Which originally I thought it was The Bet I Made. Thought maybe you might have a little gambling addiction. Not sure. Not judging. Just
no. I have a bed problem.
Bed problem. Okay, so I have to ask everybody. Every morning, do you make your bed?
Tony's not paying attention. Sam, he's on his phone. So I'll just say 100% yes, without fail.
Same.
I was looking up the phone number for Gamblers Anonymous for Chris.
Wow.
Okay. 1-800
Do you make
Gambler.
Your bed every day?
Do I have... no, I don't.
Okay, I was going to call you out if you were like, yeah, me too. I'm like, yeah. Erroneous.
I was going to make a joke about having a girlfriend for that, but she doesn't make it either.
Nice. Chris, you make your bed, don't
I
you?
Do. I
can
do.
Tell. Dave?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah. See how fast I answered, Tony?
Yeah.
I have to think about it. I made my
think
bed
about a lie.
Hey, ADHD's a bitch.
Hey, Dominic, do you make your bed?
Sure do.
Are you kidding me?
I don't believe it. Sure.
Oh,
Dominic, one-liner Doria.
Oh, my goodness.
Arizona has changed you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can hear him sweating over the phone.
Okay, so this song came from...
Chris.
First of all, the reason we're all here is because of quarantine, and it was really important that we all get in the room to do the podcast together, right? I think it's the first time we're all here. Certainly the first time Dave's here.
I phoned it in last time.
Yeah, you did.
I'm phoning it in now, but I did call from the car last
Different
time.
Sense.
So it's not lost on me. I'm really excited for this podcast and to see everyone and to have a new song out. And Dave's here. I like to think Dave represents...
Someone's getting a phone call.
Is it me?
No.
Why is it going through there?
I don't know. That's my daughter. I'm like, okay.
Dave represents all the different people we haven't seen.
Can you Bluetooth, Dominic?
In the year.
How? Can you Bluetooth, Dominic?
Because I heard the ringtone in here.
I think it's just because the mic picked it up.
No, it's going through the computer because I have my phone synced to my computer.
Just pretend I'm there.
It's definitely worth a shot. I mean, we got good flow going here.
Yeah, we'll
yeah,
evolve
yeah, this.
Yeah,
is more fun.
Whatever.
Dominic.
Yeah.
Star White.
Post.
And we're back.
That's it.
All right. Sorry, I had my tangent too. Yeah, the bed I made.
Yeah.
All right.
So where he's like, yeah, I wrote a song.
Yeah.
On with the questions.
So where'd this come from? Was this another one of your just kind of jamming in the living room?
Second bedroom, this particular one.
Oh, Mr. I have two bedrooms.
And the last song, the last single we put out was what?
Mainland.
Mainland. Back to and that song took me about 5 minutes to write, or what I think, you know, feel it felt like 5 minutes. This one was very different. It took me about 4 or 5 weeks to write this song. Okay. So the very first thing I came up with was the chorus. And so I had to write the song kind of from the inside out.
I don't get it.
If we were talking about Eve 6, that makes sense.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Bringing it full circle.
Nice.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, so did you have the whole chorus?
Yes, but it was very different, and I was playing with it because you have things like catch my breath, get a grip, rest my head, reflect a bit, all those lines, and there were a bunch more. So it was really just a matter of me playing with you know, those expressions. And the tag at the end, the bet I made, didn't come like in that first session either. It was something like, so when I decide to sit, catch my breath, get a grip, I'm going to go to the roof, cut a hole in it, and now the sky's the limit, or something like that. It was something to that effect. It kept with the same message of the song, but it was just too wordy and long, and I couldn't, you know, tie it a nice bow around it for the end of a chorus, you know, which is supposed to have a nice little tag.
You have a condo.
Yeah.
You got a guy upstairs.
Yeah, that would be rude.
You
got
to cut a hole in his room.
Really
you'd
have to pay.
Yeah. Right. Maybe
if we're going to dissect all the lyrics,
a special assessment.
That's true.
Cut the hole in the roof.
Hank, is this okay?
Even if you were on the top floor, you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, the association will have a problem with that.
Yeah.
It's not in the song.
Yes, no, that's why I took it out. I think we're all in agreement. We're saying,
yeah, we
great job, change.
Yeah.
Old Mr. McGillicuddy upstairs just didn't.
So I had the chorus, and I was really excited about it. And you guys may laugh at this or make fun of me. It depends. But I liked it because, and it's probably because I used the word build in there, but it reminded me of the like Jefferson Starship song. And we can build this dream together. It reminded me of that in that it was anthemic and catchy and empowering, and it felt really good. Like, again, when I wrote it, and it was at a much slower tempo as I was writing it.
That was from Mannequin, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Nice. No, we can talk about Mannequin if you guys want. At any rate, I really liked it, so I didn't want to rush it. And, like, the other parts weren't, it's not to say things weren't coming, but I knew they weren't quite right. And so that's why it took like 4 weeks to write. Like things came kind of one at a time.
You gotta let it simmer sometimes.
Yeah, and again, it's just like night and day from Mainland. You know what I mean? So there's no, you know, two ways, or there's a bunch of ways to write a song, you know.
Right.
Even if from the same songwriter, you know.
Totally, yeah. I'm like, sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not so.
And if I didn't like the chorus a lot, you know what, it probably would have just sat there, and then you never go back to it, right? Because that probably happens all the time, where you write a bit of something and you go, I'll get back to it, but it's not.
And it just,
yeah.
Like the leftovers in the fridge, just kind of.
But I knew I really liked it. I knew I really liked it. And then, so the second part that came after the chorus, if you notice, the start of the chorus is, but I built mine brick by brick. So that's all I had. And I'm like, well, I got to have something that leads into that.
Sure.
And so hence the your house, you know, and again, I would play with a bunch of things. But as soon as I got the line, a gifted deed, so you moved in, I'm like, well, that's never been said in the history of songwriting, so I'm going to keep that.
I think you might be correct.
Yeah.
Very good.
And then... sorry, I'm just going through. And then after that was the bridge. So I'm dizzy from all the spinning around. That whole part, much like the chorus, I had a lot of fun with that too. I do this like accidentally. I don't intend, like, I love that I do it, but like my rhymes, like when they're in the middle of the verse, so spinning and dizzy and kidding and getting, like, but they're not at the end of the line. They're in the middle of it. And so I love that part of it, and as you can imagine, I played with a lot of different expressions and things like that, and so that was that part. And then I kind of repeated the chorus at the like twice on the outro, and I go, "Oh, okay, I think I got it." Realizing you don't have a verse, like you don't have a whole song, you got these three parts, And again, however much time later, the opening chord progression and the opening verse came at the same time. And I think there was, I don't know, there, and then it all fit together nicely, and I knew it was done. And then at the end, I just, slowed it down, or did halftime, basically what I do in the intro, just halftime. And then it was kind of done, or I thought it was done, like the arrangement of the song. But then for the chorus, for the bridge, when I say, "Sir, I'm spinning from all the, I'm dizzy from all the spinning around." So when I originally put it down, it was just, "I'm dizzy from all the spinning around." But then I remembered in my note, what sparked that idea was this line in my phone that it just said, "Sir, I'm spinning." That's what got me to that point. Okay. But when I originally wrote the song, I didn't put it in there. And then I realized, let's put that in. That sound, who are you talking to in this particular case? And again, case in point, because it was already written, I'd be lying if I said this, I did it intentionally, but I like to think that part of the song is me talking to my former self or my younger self talking to my current self, and then you could even use it, my current self talking to my older self. So it's saying, I was aimless or directionless, so if you could just point me in the right direction and get me to where you are, maybe okay, we'll meet up down the line.
Sure.
And so basically, too, the song is about realizing or reminding yourself how far you've come. And, if you're like me and sometimes you're hard on yourself about the, no one? You got it. Okay. if you're hard on yourself for the mistakes that you made.
Bless you.
You want to remember to be,
I got a mic coming right on it.
Be good to yourself. You want to celebrate the accomplishments and remind yourself of the accomplishments. So that's basically what the song is about. And for better or worse, whatever got you to this point in your life, you want to be okay with it, and you're going to do it in the bed you made. The bed you made being a playoff, you made your bed, now you got to lie in it, which has this negative connotation to it, but I put a positive spin on it going, well, I'll gladly lay in this bed I made, sure, based on the decisions I made.
Based on that description, when you say the lyric, the kid, he was
getting around.
Okay, yeah. So that's you. You're the kid.
Yeah, but again, it wasn't my intent when I wrote it, because
your past self,
exactly,
is the kid.
Like, so when I wrote it, it was really just a play. The kid was really, I'm not kidding, the kid was really getting around.
Yeah.
Right?
I love the cadence of that.
Yeah, and so that's how it comes out. That's how I write a lot. And then giving it meaning, sometimes it has meaning right out of the gate, but sometimes you have to give it meaning.
Oh, yeah,
but that's
for sure.
That's exactly right. It's basically my, not completely autobiographical.
For sure, loosely.
But if you say, hey, the first 20 years of my life were, when you look back and reflect on them, they were kind of, crazy and aimless and direction. You didn't know, where
right,
you were going to go. And because of all that, the kid was just kind of doing whatever he wanted with no real purpose. So, again, now this current self, again, celebrating how far you've come and where you are in life. And so the kid talking to the current self, if you could just point me, get me
sure,
to where you are, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That's how I envision.
I thought it was a joke about being married.
Okay.
Because he captured, he's single, ladies. Mm-hmm. Listening,
no.
But he captured, I'm gonna do it in the bed I made.
Okay.
With the implication being, if the bed is not made, perhaps I won't be doing it.
Sounds like you've been married a little too
long. Okay, but going back to, does Sam make his bed every day? The answer is yes. If I didn't do it, it wouldn't get done.
So
it's not my own reality.
So let me get this straight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's give Sam a couple of minutes. He's got some shit to get off his chest.
Yeah, really.
So you think this song is about...
How does that make you feel?
Someone who doesn't make their bed.
I'll just bleep it out. I bleep him on all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fucking right.
If you make the bed, you will reap
if
the
you
rewards.
Build it, they will come.
The rewards of the flesh.
So your song is the Matthew McConaughey Oscar acceptance speech.
All right.
Doesn't he think is like future self or some shit?
Oh, he did. Yeah.
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 Right.
But that's why, and then the opening line, so again, I kind of had that was the theme of the song, again, not wanting to rush it. So that's why when even the opening line, which again was the last thing that was written, but it says it's a long time coming. Like it just kind of all fit together nicely. That's how you kind of know it's done.
What I find interesting, and it's happened to me a couple times, where you're kind of writing stream of consciousness, or you just like the way those words sound together, right?
Yeah.
And then removing yourself from the writing process, the song starts to take on meaning that you didn't intend. And I feel like this is that for you.
Yeah, to a certain extent. But again, so like the frame of mind, I knew it was going to be a positive song. And maybe that's why it took so long to write, right? Because we talked about, again...
I define myself on a good day.
No, it's just creatively, it's easier to...
It's way easier to be
The Alkaline Trio comes out in let's look at the dark side of stuff. But so that's why it took so long. But yeah, when you know, that the bridge specifically, like, yeah, I didn't know it was going to be about that. And so the lyrics just kind of took on a life of their own, which I love when like I write it and then I could look and listen to it like objectively or like with, like, oh my God, it's about this. That wasn't my intention.
I like that. I do like that. And I have a question in general with your songwriting process, because you mentioned that you had the chorus first, which you're not used to, and you kind of got stuck on certain parts. Like in your songwriting, or anybody at the Square Roundtable here, when you're writing a song in your process, do certain parts come out easier, and then do you get stuck on specific parts? Like, for example, like I usually start with a chorus or a first verse, and I'm lost on a second verse constantly.
Because
I'm like, I already said what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
What do I have to say now?
And each song is different.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
So, like I said, with this one, that's kind of exactly what happened. If you notice, there is no second verse in this, right? There's no second verse.
There's a lot of different parts.
But that, because that was the last thing I wrote, and I'm like, all right, this song's whatever, you know, it's coming up on 3 minutes. It's as long as it needs to be, et cetera, et cetera.
Perfect timing.
But then a song like Mainland, again, not to go back to the previous single, but like that came out in order, you know? So there's no...
Yeah.
If it was so easy, you know, like, or like the same, like everyone would just write hit songs all the time.
You just have to jump in the rabbit hole no matter what. Wherever your mind takes you.
But you know, going back, the amount of first verse songs that I have, it's countless. And then you never do anything with them because the rest doesn't come.
You're like, here's a great verse. And then the second verse, you're like, ah.
It's like, well, this is catchy.
And it's funny because if you think about it, like you mentioned Alkaline Trio, a ton of their songs are just, they just repeat the same verse twice.
Yes.
At least Matt's songs.
And I just saw an interview with one of the Gallaghers from... talking about Oasis, and he said the same thing. And I
when
think,
he was writing Morning Glory, because he wrote it
songs,
in the studio. Yeah.
Right, on What's the Story, Morning Glory. Any song you hear where the verse is repeated, it's them writing it right there and saying, nah, we'll just leave it like this.
Oh, right on. Yeah.
And they didn't bother.
And that's all 23 million copies.
Yeah, yeah, right? Second verse overrated.
But second verse, same as the first.
And and like I said, so that's what the song's about. I think as aggressive as the song might sound, right, because it's upbeat and you know, I kind of shouted at some points, it's as uplifting, empowering, and positive of a song as I could possibly write, you know what I mean, like with the exception of a love song or something like that. It's like normally it's not this positive, and hopefully people get something out of the song as a whole.
Yeah, it is a love song. We talked about doing it in the bed.
No, but the line before that is when I decide to sit, catch my breath, and get a grip.
Yeah, you get a...
Whoa.
Halftime.
Dominic, why would you say that?
Oh, Dom.
Oh, quiet you.
Coming in hot from Arizona.
Jeez, they must have different laws out there.
I think they only
daylight
few.
Daylight savings time out there.
Daylight saving time.
Nope, we do not.
They don't have it.
They don't. Yeah, that was it. I got the reference.
Thank you.
Yeah, but they don't
they
change
don't,
times.
No, they're like,
they don't
what's
change
the reference.
They don't.
It was a Teen Titans Go.
What the hell is Teen Titans?
Oh, you would absolutely love it.
Yeah, you would love it.
I know.
It's hilarious.
I'm a doctor too. I know.
Yeah. No, it's awesome.
All right.
You need to.
Right.
Keep talking about your song.
All right, any other? That's all. Like, I think I said everything I wanted about this. If there's any specific questions, okay, so I like talking about my lyrics. Yeah.
So the process of tracking. Did you get with Sam first?
Yes.
Or did you come in here and do the scratches?
Sorry. I heard it too, man.
No, Sam and I demoed it. Kind of. I think I said, like, I think this is a song I want to do next. And we messed around with his equipment. Sam, you can kind of talk about that.
Yeah, he showed up with it like he always does. It was done. I didn't hear it until it was... All of that, those things he said happened well before I heard anything of this song. So he showed up. Said, here it is, and we made a demo of it, which was, I liked once it started actually getting recorded, because the demo we made was much slower. It was probably like 130 or something, and then the song ended up being at like 168, something, whatever it was.
Sure.
And I was, so when I heard that, I thought, oh, great, this is much better. So the demo we made was just, I hadn't heard anything of the song aside from, I think, the guitar. So he sent me
him. Yeah, there were no lyrics. Yeah, or you didn't hear the lyrics.
Okay. Heard nothing, and so I listened to that. I took the notes that I typically will take from him. You know, this is what I want it to sound like. This is, you know, here's a reference point. And then wrote the bass based off that, sent it to him. He said, okay, all good, you know, 80% fine, but then the verse is wrong. You got to change the verse.
Because you have to remember, he didn't have the lyrics.
I didn't know the melody or anything.
He had no context of it.
You had no point of reference.
But for the other 80% of the song...
Like a child that wanders into the middle of a movie.
For the other 80% of the song, though, I'm like, yeah, that's great. That's all going to work. And then I go, but you'll get it once you hear it. And I was afraid, because I knew, I'm like, I'm going to have to tell him to kind of play it straight a little bit, you know? And when we went there, when he finally heard the lyrics, he actually said it first. He goes, I'm thinking about just kind of playing it straight, and I go, oh, okay, yeah, that's great.
good idea,
nice.
Sam.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that all kind of worked out.
Yeah. So then you came in here.
Yeah.
And then we picked a tempo.
Yeah, and
laid down acoustic.
Yeah, and going off Sam's, you know, if it was much slower at you know, at his place,
right.
Again, it's because it was much slower when I originally wrote it, knowing that it was going to speed up a little bit, but I probably hadn't settled on a tempo, and then, yeah, you and I fooled around with.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, usually I just kind of try and, like, let you play, and I'll just tap a tempo where it feels good, and then go, okay, let's try it here.
Yeah.
And then I think we actually sped it up from there
a
little
bit. And I think knowing that the full band was, right, playing it acoustically, which was what I was doing it, it's got to be a little slower, otherwise it's going to be a little sloppier. But so I think with the full band, I knew it could be sped up a little bit.
Dave, what did you think of where the tempo ended up?
It was great.
Thought so too.
I'm so glad, Dave. Yeah,
if we ended up at 168, I usually go in increments of five. So we were probably at 165, and then you were like, "Let's go a little bit quicker." So then I just kind of 168. That would make sense.
Wherever it landed when it came back to me, I listened and thought, "Okay, this is nice. Yeah, it's much better."
It definitely felt good. It felt good for the way that you were singing it. I felt like it was more comfortable. You definitely put a lot more, like, oomph into the vocals. I know we'll get to there in the process.
Yeah.
But I think it's noticed, and like, I could feel like some serious feeling behind it.
Can I just say too, and this is gonna jump ahead, but like, so when I come in to track the scratch, you know, I've gotten comfortable with that part, knowing that, okay, this is just the beginning, you know, so I'm not super nervous anymore like I was when I did the early stuff. But then by the time, Tony, you get on it, and then Sam gets on it, and then Dom's after me with the backup vocals. But even with that, by the time I get that back, then it sounds so, like, better than I could have imagined. And then the thought in my head is like, well, okay, all I could do is fuck this up now. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why the lyrics becomes the most nerve-wracking part of the whole process.
Sure. The first thing I think I remember you telling me about this song was, I'm going to have to rely on Tony a lot.
Yeah, and because I knew that...
I'm sorry to let you down.
I knew the chord progression was, like, you know, the key... One, it's the first thing you hear, just playing it, you know, perfectly and you know, knocking it out of the park.
And to me, that tells me, okay, like, as, like, an acoustic guitar player, songwriter, like, this needs to be more of, like, a... bigger than what I'm doing.
Yep.
Kind of thing. Yep. So I was like, okay.
Which is normally how all the songs are, but
right.
This one specifically, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Tony came in.
Yes, I did.
Well, we did Did we do drums and acoustic the same day?
Yeah, we
and
did.
And your scratch vocal.
Yeah, because... Because
this song really, you know, as long as it took, you know, like, it was a quick process. It was one of the quicker ones we've ever done.
Right.
You know? So I was surprised when we tracked the drums and acoustic on the same day.
Right.
So, yes, we did.
Yes.
That was a productive day. And then you came in next. I'm pointing to Tony.
Yes.
And Dave was here.
Point to me.
I'm currently pointing to Dave.
And Dave sat in the chair that Tony's sitting in.
Yes, and still warm.
And Chris laid in the bed he made. Went through. You know, we did this a little bit different.
Yes.
And we did the vocals kind of the same way, where we just kind of looped the intro. And then figured out, okay, that's what you're going to play? Okay, cool, let's play it.
Yeah, so then we just played it over and over and over again, and then Chris had, he wanted a certain vibe, and it was a lot easier to take it part by part, where we'd be like, here's the intro, you know, emphasize this part, you know, play this a little bit differently, as opposed to, like, previously we'd be like, all right, here, let's do the whole take. I'm like, that was great, but that 4 seconds in the second verse, I need you to whole thing over again. It just, I think we got such a cleaner sounding, like, guitar track doing it that way piece by piece, and I mean we did some of the sections a lot more than others, you know. Then there's I mean that's not if anybody here listening thinks that any guitar parts that I do takes less than 10 takes trouble.
If anybody takes less than 10 takes.
I didn't think it was that
it wasn't terrible.
No, I thought it flowed, you know. The way we did it. Yeah, I wouldn't think it was
good. You know, there were certain parts where you're like, oh, I really want to nail this, but I will say that the vibe in the room made me feel so much more comfortable. Seeing Dave, insert quote from Dave.
Dave stares into the middle distance.
Dave is just eating a whole lot of free snacks.
He's just eating all the granola bars.
He's eating our fifth microphone worth of snacks.
I had a chocolate chip granola bar. I had a chocolate chip. I got closer to the mic. Chocolate chip granola bar.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So this Quaker over here was just, he killed it.
Couldn't find a peanut butter one, went with chocolate chip.
Some of it just spittled onto the...
No, it didn't.
Onto the
didn't.
Well, now we have three microphones.
Don't do visual bits for the radio.
So this kind of nonsense, it like, anytime that I got a little like in my own head, someone would make a joke, which is too offensive to put on podcast, and it would just be like, it would loosen it up. It was great.
Yeah,
it was
and
a
then
whole
it,
lot of fun.
It allowed us too to kind of improvise on the moment, because it was, again, going back to the relying on you, it was like, I know I want this part bigger. I don't know what that entails.
Oh yeah, for
sure. You know, like the very last chorus, for example, we got
that
it all in and then we
thing
added
and,
that.
Yeah.
You know, I knew I wanted that, but couldn't, you know, explain. You know, we had to find the note and everything, and then the minor note in the bridge too was a
right.
big part. You know, and so it was just working together to find those little things, because as you know, as the songwriter, I'm like. Like, okay, this one small part that people notice, but like, you really want them to notice it, and
right.
So
we want it as big as possible.
Exactly.
Yep. And I remember the conversation.
I can't
that
add
you and
a
I
lot
had.
Of cool stuff. So whenever I add a cool thing, I'm like, make sure that's in there.
Yeah. Right.
I like that.
The Tony, the conversation you and I had.
Yes, Drew.
I think as you were, well, I'm pointing to you, and then I realized no one can see me pointing, even though I'm doing finger guns.
Ooh,
but
ow.
That
hurt.
The
Is that
I think you were actually headed here, and you were like, I don't really know what he wants. And I'm like, just be familiar with the song and be open to ideas, and we'll figure it out. Like,
I think I sent you like a 6-part.
You did send me.
Did that help?
He did.
It was like, it was
at
a
least
couple
understood
days
where the notes the, were.
Where it was
at the very least.
Yeah,
those were. You should just release those as the music video.
I should. I think. Yeah, I'll sell it. It was like 2 days before coming in, going like, he's like, yeah, where are you on, you know, on the neck? And I'm like, and what are you doing? And I'm like, well, let me just send you the video.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be able to.
And you're like, you did it fast. Like, I sent the text, you're like, I just sent you a ton of videos. And I'm just like, whoa.
He had those saved.
Yeah.
They were all ready.
They're on his Tinder profile.
Yeah, me saying, hey, Tony. The first
hey, Tony. This is how you play the song.
T-O-N-I could be a lady.
Yeah, that's
Antoinette.
True.
Antoinette.
Yeah.
Tenorelli. Don't date my imaginary sister.
Imaginary twin.
Antoinette, yeah. You know, a funny story. There was an Antoinette.
It better be funny.
It's not going to be funny.
No, it's not. Like, it's bad.
No, wait, never mind. So,
the fact that we're all like, oh.
God damn it. So, it's a... my very first crush as a child was a girl named Antoinette, and it was kindergarten.
Marie.
It was Antoinette Beaton was her name, and I don't know if maybe I made that up, but
did they call her Tony?
Is this the story?
Yeah,
so it would have been Tony and Tony.
Yep.
All right, you saved
it. Do you know?
Tony
dismounted
Tony.
Nicely. I was about to beat you up a little bit. I like the Tony and Tony joke.
That's why I call myself T2 for my long lost love, Antoinette. Oh.
Why do you call yourself that?
I don't. You've called me that, and that sort of stuck.
Yeah.
You also call me Peanut Butter and Jelly Tenorelli,
which is a good one. That's solid.
That's not a good one.
It hasn't stuck, though. Except for you called to me.
It sticks to the roof of your mouth.
Amber!
I self-high-fived.
Do you have, like, a button when you make a Drew joke where it's like, Drew joke! Drew
joke! No, but I will.
Yes!
Like, Drew joke!
We need
like
you
the
to
morning
record.
Drive radio show with the wild man doing the...
We need you to record a drop for that.
Drew joke!
And I'll pitch shift it.
Yeah. Like, Drew joke. Or, like, it's got to be preceded by, like, a bat, like, hitting a home run.
The crowd going wild. Drew joke.
And make it long enough to, because this is going to be in post, so the next 4 seconds of conversation are buried.
Are
you celebrating your own humor?
Guys,
I hope it's in. I hope it's in here.
Did you hear my joke?
When we hear this, I hope.
All right. Drew joke. I like it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do
good.
It.
That's good. All
right. So we get drums. We got guitar. We got scratch acoustic. Scratch vocal, and then Sam, you did your bass at home.
I did. I got.
How exciting was that?
It was exciting because I just got new toys. I was telling Dave a couple months back, maybe a month or two before I did the recording. He got me onto this DI that's modeled after the Motown.
Okay, you got the Motown DI.
Did the Acme?
Okay,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
And so he had showed it to me, and it was right around tax time, so I
bought
it. And I was excited to be able to use that, and so...
Was that the thing we had the deal on, where you buy it with your tax money and we both enjoy it, or was that the amp? Was that the Ampeg? Remember we talked about this?
Yeah, it must have been the amp, not this thing.
Because I said I really would like to try this, and you said you would too. I'm like, dope, you buy it.
actually, you're right, it was the DI. So come on by, and you can definitely check.
Cool.
So I was excited to be able to use the DI.
I like it. Yeah, same voice. So the listeners got to be real dialed in to
right.
know whose joke it was.
Whose joke it was.
Chris joke. Sam joke. Sam joke.
Tony.
That's not a joke. Just Tony.
Tony.
It's a swing and a miss.
Strike three.
Tony.
You're
crazy. So was this going back to Sam?
You just got slapped by Sam too.
So amazing.
And the bar has been set. New bar has been set.
Oh man. So was this the first song that you've done at your place?
Yes.
Okay.
The first one where I was like, okay, this is the take
right,
we're gonna use.
Yeah.
Yes. I've done demos for other things.
Sure.
It's like I'm gonna put it in here. But that was the one. First one where I was able to
cool
work on it. He had given me the notes on not necessarily what the bass should sound like, but it, or you know what the bass notes should be,
right?
But on what the tone should be about.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
and
you did
is,
all the processing for the bass,
and it is what it really always is.
Yeah.
Mid period Green Day.
Sure,
let's make it sound like that.
Tell him about the tone.
That's what I was gonna say, and then you beat me to it.
That's what the tone. That was the tone.
Yeah, so he worked hard on that tone, and I think it sounds great.
And
yeah.
So I got one that I was pretty happy with, and I think I texted Drew just saying what it sounded like. Rollins wanted mid-period Green Day. Listen to the isolated bass from Welcome to Paradise and listen to this bass track and see how close I got. Because I think I got pretty close.
That's awesome.
Listening.
Yeah, it's ridiculously close.
You used
and
the Motown thing for that?
Yes.
That's
shit.
That's cool.
Sounds
yeah.
good.
I almost think, though, too, it sounds, especially at the very beginning, like almost like American Idiot bass. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but
I think that's the production value.
Yeah, that
because early Green Day, you know, 1039 Smooth Out Slappy Hours, Green Day, going into like Kerplunk, that's sort of what you're thinking, Dookie area, right?
Slipping Insomniac and Nimrod, I'll be really impressed.
Go
ahead.
No, don't, you give, it, don't give it to him.
Were you going to do it?
No, because I like Insomniac. That's my favorite album.
It was anyway. Really I listened to it at the gym today.
American Idiot, though, if we're going to go real deep, quick, like yeah. Green Day bass tone. On Dookie, like he was using a different bass. He was using that old Gibson G3 grabber type bass. You ever see those?
Type one Hill.
And so,
for American Idiot?
On American, no, on American Idiot, he was using a P bass.
Oh, right.
So it makes sense that the bass I use was a P bass.
It's interesting that you got that grit out of that box.
That's what I was thinking.
Because what I liked most about that is it was aggressive and angry without being like offensive. Yeah. You know, sometimes when you crank that top end to get that bite, it's almost like, whoa, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A little like ear fatigue. But
right. And that box comes with, you could adjust the settings that you want. And the setting I have it on is not very high.
Okay.
And I think if you were going to record bass like Motown, you would maybe jump it up a little bit, but you would be using a bass with flat strings, and you would probably cut the tone knob in half.
Right.
Just, yeah. Me and Dave both read that James Jamerson book, so we
nice.
That's what he used to.
Yeah. Yeah. That.
So I didn't do any of that. It was
right.
Round strings and all the tone.
So all that tone was from that box. You didn't do anything in inside.
I mean,
the
inside
box
I found.
Logic.
I did just to. I found an amp that was comparable to a Fender bass bin.
Okay.
But I didn't do much in terms of adjusting the settings on that.
Sure.
It was everything just kind of straight up.
Yeah, just
know,
getting the impulse
crazy.
Responses from the amp and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. Did you do any EQing or compression or any of that stuff?
No, I decided I would leave that to Drew.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
just
I mean,
there's
like,
the file, buddy.
Well, I popped it in, you know, I got the drums going, I got the guitars going and brought it up and I was like, oh, this is going to be easy.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. He came over when I did it for just one night and... You know, worked on. He gave me notes here or there, and
yeah, and because at that point we had worked on like the those little pauses and stuff, you know, in the bridge, and so it was little things like that that it was good that I was there to kind of. I mean, he would have knocked it out of the park anyways, but that's what I remember about that night. Because I'm thinking like, I don't really need to be here when he was playing, and then it was those little things where I'm like, oh, it's good that I was here.
I got him here. He's screwing this whole thing up.
So then I took the stems, sent those off to beautiful sunny Arizona, and let Dominic do what Dominic does.
And I helped.
So he asked me for the lyrics. I sent him the lyrics. He goes, "What do you think?" And I just said, do your thing. And I said, you know, backups where you think and oohs and ahs. I think maybe I told him that. And what we got back, like, you know, this is where, like, again, you guys take it to a whole nother level. Because
well,
I couldn't.
And you hadn't heard what Dom had done. Nobody did until mix one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was kind of fun because it was like,
here's the
I'm
surprise.
Holding the cards.
Yeah.
I do like that. Dom, I think Dom sent it to me at one point when he was recording, and I was just like, solid. Like, this is so good. Like, I actually get chills in the bridge.
Innovative is
with your lyrics or with your vocals.
We talked a lot about that.
And, like goosebumps.
Yeah. Yep.
Every time I listen to it, because the way that you were singing it, your tone and like compassion for the part, it sounded great. And then the oohs come in.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like a chorus, like a gospel chorus.
Yeah. And that's where like
Arizonian gospel chorus.
And in this one, I don't, you know, as much of the song as I had in my head, it was kind of like, well, let's just build on that. I didn't have like a final vision, which is good. It's like,
that is good.
Get out of my own way, because again, if I told Dom what to do, I would have never thought of the stuff he did. You know what I mean? And so it's incredible. I can't say enough about what he did. I think it kind of makes it.
You could say more.
Way, as opposed to just doing standard backup, you know, kind of marrying what I... And he does that, too.
Thirds for the harmonies. And
But he's a great singer. And
he comes up with great parts, and his counter melodies work every time.
We're talking about him like he's not right here on the phone. Dom, give us a rundown of your process.
You're being eerily...
Yeah, I know. Sometimes you forget I'm here. when I heard this first track, it was just the rough, just acoustic. I don't even think Tony was on it yet. And the only message I got was, hey, don't worry about it right now. Wait till we get some of this other stuff on there. Wait till Tony lays down his guitar. So I essentially forgot about it because I was in my move. And then when I got the track back, it had Tony's guitars in it. It had the bass already in it. Everything was essentially set up already. And this one was really an easier song to kind of approach. Because one, Chris's vocals were very passionate throughout this whole thing. And to just line those vocals up, that those harmonies were really good. And the fact that he had no, you know, pre-notion of what he wanted. So me coming in there and being able to do really anything I wanted, especially for that bridge, really kind of put the icing on the cake for this. But, you know, laid it down in one night, sent it off, and I purposely didn't send it to you, Chris, because I wanted Drew to surprise you, and there it is.
I'm going to stop you right there.
What a tale. Yeah.
That's enough, all right.
What if we let it go for 90 seconds?
A little self-indulgent, darn.
But we talk about the Green Day influence, which is always like it's a fundamental influence, and it's always going to be there. Yeah. You know, it almost goes without saying, like, we want the bass to sound like that. The melodies are kind of going to be like that. And I think, you know, it's always kind of Green Day and Saves the Day and Alkaline Trio and Dave and the Get Up Kids. I think they're always just kind of in, because they're the bands I love. You know, we take from everything, be it Motown or Simon and Garfunkel or 90s alternative. We take from all of it. And with again, those bands kind of being the biggest influence. And when you put them all together, that's kind of what you get. And I was thinking about it knowing that Dave was going to be on. That Dave and I used to play in a band called Down in Front many years ago. And I think of all
I
the...
I think I remember that band.
Mm-hmm. Of all the songs we've done so far... And maybe I just thought this because I knew Dave was on, but I'm like, this is like the most Down in Front sounding song I think And the Balloons have done.
I'd
think
agree.
It's a pretty, yep, sure. Between yep. being anthemic, catchy, Dom's harmonies in the background, which Chris and Zach always did.
Big guitars. That was big Down
kind
in
of
front.
Brief, you know, I like about this song, like even if you don't like it, it's only 2 minutes, 40 seconds. So we don't waste your time,
yeah.
You know. But yeah, I thought about it. Talk about
it's true.
Talk about when we wrote "Pack Up for Nowhere."
Dave is placing headphones onto his head now.
I am the last 40 minutes we're talking about a song I haven't heard yet. I'm sure it's awesome.
It seems to be a theme with this And the Balloons podcast. Yeah. Oh God, I almost dropped my mic.
Now
we have three mics.
You guys are talking about it like it's great. I'm going off of the enthusiasm in the room. If I hear it sucks, I'd like to be retroactively pulled from all of my speaking time here. I was what? Pack Up for Nowhere?
No, I'm just joking. I wasn't in the band yet.
That was a Christian.
You were?
No.
Oh, Down in Front Talk. No. Here we go.
I joined. So they were a trio in the for the first album, the Emancipation Proclamation, whatever the album was called.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't remember that.
It was Chris, Zach, and Chris.
Oh, I do remember
and then
that.
I got added.
I remember us
for
the second.
I don't remember
because
that.
We played shows with you at that point.
I couldn't tell you what songs was. I didn't know "Pack Up for Nowhere" wasn't written.
No.
Before that.
And when we did our second record, we just re-recorded a bunch of stuff we already because we had no material. Because when we would practice, it was a hang. There was no work done.
Yeah.
At all. No songs.
What I remember about Down in Front practices is we didn't have microphones. So it was always just the music.
Oh, so I get yelled at for having four.
But like,
they I mean, I school. Technically still don't have a microphone.
But there'd be, yeah, there'd true. Be times though I remember like they'd be excited for a song and so we'd practice it for 2 or 3 days and then, yeah, we're playing it on Saturday and okay, and then the lyrics would be in there on the stage and I'd be like, oh, this is how it sounds? Sometimes it would throw me off.
This is what it is.
That's funny.
Yeah, sorry, sidetrack. But going back to Alkaline Trio again, Saves the Day. Here's the thing: like when I mean,
that's our core.
When I do my up. Like, when I do at the end of the song, when I do the nose in mm-hmm. the background, like that's just me doing a Chris Conley impression.
Sure.
Like, and I did it in a. I know
to a certain degree, a Chris Conley impression.
Yeah, but I do it in like I know it's not safe. Like, and I make no bones about it. Like, I'm
yeah,
just
right.
doing what Chris Conley did.
This is what I'm doing. Yeah.
And. But yeah, the last 30 seconds of this song, I'm really proud of in terms of how big we got it and the multiple layers and of,
there's
of
so
just,
many layers.
And you
I
kinda,
think there's I think there's 9 tracks of you singing the melody or variants thereof.
Yes.
Not including the.
And I love how you can hear them all too. Like they all kind of come out because some of them are they're not the same. They're you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were kind of singing off of yourself.
Yeah, and I love it was meant to be that way, you know. And what's funny is when I do it live, like. I do as many of that as I can.
How many larynx do you have?
Yeah. But I'm like, all right, we got to, because, you know, there's only so much I could do, but I'm like, oh, yeah, like, have that in one track and that in another and that, and, you know, so I had to imagine it on stage as I was doing it. And sure. And we hit it. That's what I love the last 30. That was the first thing I said when I heard the mix. I said, well, I think the whole thing's great, and I think the last 30 seconds is one of the greatest things, you know, I've ever heard.
That's awesome.
Me do, anyways. So
the final track count was 109 tracks.
Is that right? What's, wow. I don't know what normal is.
It.
Speaking of which, Drew has a bill for you.
But that's a little on the high end. But
Sergeant Pepper had 8.
Yes, 8. I mean, I did mix things down into stems, but
you're doing it wrong.
The total track count was 100. You think
109. You're 12 times better than the
I couldn't do the math.
You know what we didn't talk about too, and was singing the softer part in the bridge when it breaks down.
Talked quite a bit about that.
Yeah, and what I liked about that, and I was right over here when we were doing it, is
He pointed to the toilet.
Describe where you are. It's visual.
Right where you are. Yes. Right where you
are. They don't know where I am.
Pretty much.
Right where Dave is.
But you had a microphone.
I did.
Yes, Dave was holding him like a baby while he sang this.
But we took our time with it because you had this very specific... You're like, I want to capture the emotion. I remember you saying that.
Yeah.
And technically, it's what a producer does, what you were doing. But since it was the vocals and it was almost like this performance and you wanted, I'm like, it was almost like a movie director. Like you were telling me how you wanted.
I remember saying, don't think about how you're saying it. Only think about what you're saying.
Yes, yes, yes. And I love that note. I really love that interaction between us that, you know, it was like, that's the behind the scenes stuff. That,
yeah,
like,
for sure.
Where you really love just making what you're making. You know what I mean? I really enjoyed that moment.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
And I think that part of the track is so important because of that conversation we had. I feel because of that raw emotion. And then of course Dom comes in and was like, "Oh, I got you."
Yeah.
And just a little paintbrush swirls.
So when I left that night after doing it, you kind of did a brief little mock-up of what it would sound like, and I'm like, "Yeah, that sounds terrific." And then when I heard the mix, it was that times 12 probably, and it was like, oh my god, like it was good the way
all those weird keyboard things
it was
going
good
on
the way I heard it, and then and that's kind of a key, you know. I feel like And the Balloon Song, you get Sam gets a chorus to himself, and then if there could be a breakdown so we could build it back up, kind of like the old Nirvana motto, like, I feel like that, you know.
Yeah.
And again, it's not intentional, it's just the way, you know, the songs kind of come out, like, so
it works.
I love it.
I do like this song a lot.
It sounds awesome. This is my favorite one until the next one.
I like
one.
It. And again, for the reason I wrote it, that's why I love it too. I love that it's positive. I love that it's this reminder to remember how far you've got. I think it's a good message. You know, my songs don't always have messages, you know, for like other people, you know.
For the common man.
They could be about heartbreak and maybe you can relate to it. But I feel like, you know, hopefully people get a lot out of it. I like the song. The Bet I Made.
Me too. This would be a very, very fun song to play live.
Yeah. Yeah.
A commentary on marriage.
Yeah. I was at I was doing an acoustic show. Dave was actually, this is a pat on the back story, but I played The Bet I Made, and Dave was videotaping it for me. And
wow, was this the 90s videotape?
No, well, he was filming it.
Yeah, he had his camcorder.
The year was 1993.
You wrote the song in the 90s?
Ace Ventura had just come out. Anyway, so I'm playing it, and it's, you know, it's got these heartfelt lyrics, and it's not, it wasn't a big venue. And so there's this woman sitting right next to Dave. And so I finished the song, and, you know, everyone claps, and I, you know, and I say, thank you. And then the clapping kind of, the applause dies down, and then the woman like leans to whoever she's there with, and she's like, oh my god, that was really great.
That's awesome.
And I could hear her clearly. And so I just pause for a moment, look her dead in the eye, and go, thank you. It was just for her. But the reason I bring up the film is that you could hear her, what is it, tape film? You could hear her tape. As a
cassette.
As I'm performing, and she's going, yes, yes. Like she really related to the lip. Yeah. Like she got what I was saying, awesome. And that's what I really liked about
as
it.
As Dave gives her a $5 bill.
I'll tell you, but after you left, I stuck around and. Any song that came on the jukebox. Partying in the USA came up. Like, yes!
Yes!
Yes! I do like partying in the USA, but...
Back that thing up.
You just got buried by a Dave tune.
Yes. Finger boys.
Buried by Dave
tune. Yes!
Back to reality.
Oh my goodness. Anyway. Anything else anybody has to add before we... tie a bow on this.
I want to hear the song.
Dominic, are you good?
Oh, I'm really good.
Oh, that's rude.
He's drunk.
I'm glad we were able drunk. To get together to do this podcast and do the song. Again, it's after 2020,
Right.
You take less for granted and, like if someone couldn't make it tonight or, obviously Dom's in Arizona, but I would have postponed it because I really wanted everyone in the same room, so. Thank you guys, and you rocked it, and I love you, and I hope people enjoy listening to it.
I know I will again.
I will. Yes.
I also will.
Yes, this song has a very high replay value, for sure.
Sure does.
I feel like this song has a little bit of a different, like, it's going to grab an extra set of an audience. Like, you have your audience, you have your fans, and this one pushes it a little bit further, like a little bit deeper out, so then I think you're going to pull in some extra fans with it.
I hope so. Yeah, I feel like it has, I always call it like that sprinkle. Like, again, you write songs the same way, but some songs just stand out for whatever reason. And again, from the very moment I started writing it, like, I'm like, I think there's something here, and then you could write a song the next day and like, it could be garbage. You know what I mean? Like there's no rhyme or reason to it. No. And so you just gotta.
Well, hopefully there's a rhyme because it's a song.
Yes, it's and the rhyme is in the middle of the line for Chris.
I forgot what the punch. What's the tag? Drew joke.
Drew joke.
Go ahead.
Good ending. That's a good ending.
I kind of want you to have like the dun 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 da 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 da.
Drew joke. It's like the longest drop ever.
And then 40 seconds of Hawk Harrelson non sequitur. Talking about Ted Williams.
Who made the best jokes in the clubhouse?
Ted Williams.
Ted Williams.
Cops 2-1.
Or Todd Frazier.
I wish I could swear. You can't help me out.
I just watched a Ted Williams documentary about him hitting 406.
So. Is it worth your time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a good story there?
That's the name of the next song.
The guy's I like my documentaries. It wasn't a music one. It was a sports one.
Nice. Yes. Still counts. Still a documentary.
Carlton Fisk won the other day.
I told him. Say what? He got in the Hall of Fame and he did this visual bit for the radio. I'm waving my arms.
He played for the Red Sox and he did this. And I go, yeah, that's about 30% of that documentary.
That's it. Yep. He waved the ball fair. Yeah. That was actually the week I was born.
Uh-huh.
That happened.
Were you alive for that?
And then I was born that same within those like 7 days.
Oh, okay.
That and SNL debuted. The same week I was born.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
I'm as old as Saturday Night Live.
Remember who the first host was?
I do.
No, oh, I yeah, we all do. Oh. We all should.
Wait.
Peter Frampton. Good treatment.
If you guys had...
Yeah, it was Peter Frampton.
If you guys listen to know...
Host?
Give us a call. Give us a call with your guesses.
Peter Frampton was your first host.
Drew, what's your cell? I'm going to give your cell away.
Drew, what's your personal cell phone number?
You guys know who the first SNL...
Bob Dylan was the first musical guest.
And Peter Frampton was the first host.
Of SNL?
He was the host.
Yes.
If but he wasn't the musical guy.
Peter
Fitz.
No. Is he relevant yet?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Peter Fitz. We know.
Stick around. We'll reveal it.
In 73. I'm going to start the podcast with this.
This is where we...
Coming up next, 10 on the 10s, we got the local traffic report. It was George Carlin.
George Carlin, first host.
And he would do bits between skits.
Okay. Bits and Skits. They should have called it that. Yeah. Bits and Skits. I like that.
Bits and Skits.
Kibbles and Bits and Skits.
This episode brought to you by Drew Chew.
Oh my God.
Get your song up with Drew Chew.
Chew it and Drew it.
Chew it and Drew it.
What's the difference between Blue Chew and Blue Chew? Oh my. Blue Chew and Drew Chew. That's a mouthful.
We believe it.
Thank you very much.
That's the answer. That's the
answer. It's a mouthful. Is that what
Drew Joe.
No, what is it? That's a Dave joke then. What's the
difference? Buried by a Dave joke.
Buried by Dave. 6 feet Barry. I'm getting out of control here. No,
that's, yeah, welcome to the podcast.
I'm getting a little wordy. You play the song after the podcast, right?
Yes.
So, of course, I'm going to hear it exactly how everyone else is hearing it.
I gotta do the lead in, though. So, wait, without further ado, here it is.
Here it
and
is.
And the balloons. The bed I made. Listen up, Dave. Listen up, Dave.
Taking all eight of them. Uh-huh. They're already in my body.